From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. We've been talking about people who are risking their own freedoms to protect the rights of others, and how in Greece, human rights defenders are being targeted and accused of helping migrants enter the country illegally. To Mary Lawler, this is part of a trend in many countries,
where the whole notion of migration is a dirty word now. The whole notion of refugees is a dirty word now. It's a global crackdown on refugees, asylum seekers and migrants, and the people, the defenders who are supporting their legitimate rights in international law, in asylum law.
In the parlance of the United Nations, Mary Lawler is a special rapporteur, an independent expert who, in her case, monitors the status of human rights defenders. Her office receives hundreds of complaints each year, and she says they are hardly limited to authoritarian countries. It's democratically elected governments in Europe and elsewhere, too.
What always amuses me is the states get up and they say all this good stuff about how great they are and how they support human rights defenders and blah, 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 blah. But the reality is, on the ground, they are targeting human rights defenders. They are treating them unjustly. They are not abiding by the rule of law. They're not abiding by the kind of standards that they would want for their own families.
When Mary began her tenure at the UN in 2020, Greece was stepping up pressure on asylum seekers and people trying to defend their rights, people like Dimitris Houlis and Tommy Olsen. Mary's office was flooded with complaints, so she decided to take a closer look. This is where Viola Funk of ACB Stories in Berlin picks up the story.
The first thing Mary Lawler wanted to do was to get personal testimonies from human rights defenders.
And so we're very, very glad to meet you all here today.
So her office organized a hearing. It was 2021, COVID was still surging, so they spoke online.
What I really need is your own specific situation and the situation of other human rights defenders, because that's all I can act on.
The group told Mary stories about how authorities in Greece were denouncing some activists as enemies of the state and accusing them of working alongside human traffickers.
Such crimes as being part of a criminal organization, money laundering, forgery, fraud, facilitation of illegal entry.
People also told her how local media was stoking public anger by publishing unproven allegations.
Several times people in public have started screaming and shouting at me, saying that I'm supporting refugees and I should leave from this place.
And then there was also Dimitris Houlis, the lawyer from the island of Samos. He told Mary about the challenges in trying to protect refugees and asylum seekers from illegal pushbacks, the people being forcibly pushed out to sea in rubber life rafts.
It's fierce, it's violent, and the way it's happening, it's putting people's lives in danger.
Like many of the others, Dimitris described being smeared in the local media for his work.
One day I saw my picture in a pro-governmental newspaper saying that this is a traitor.
Tommy Olsen from Norway also testified about how authorities were targeting him with false accusations.
It was a clear attempt to intimidate me, to silence, and resulted in death threats against me and my family.
Mary Lawler heard from more than a dozen people. At the close of the meeting, she told the group all their work was being imperiled by a fortress mentality that's taken hold across Europe.
It needs a serious response to what is happening, trying to crush the spirit out of you all for your humanitarian action is not acceptable. So thank you very much. I'm sorry I have to go now.
United Nations special rapporteurs have no real legal authority in the countries they report on. They conduct fact-finding missions and make recommendations. So it's part diplomacy, part detective work, and part shaming. Months after hearing from the embattled human rights defenders, Mary went to Greece to see the situation for herself. She met with government ministers and interviewed human rights workers. On her last day there, she held a press conference.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to speak quite loudly because
the audio is bad. Mary's doing her best to project her voice. She starts by crediting Greece, for taking more than its fair share of asylum seekers in Europe, and for improving refugee centers. But most importantly, she credited human rights defenders for helping protect the most vulnerable and marginalized, often in the face of resistance.
I salute each and every one of them for their bravery and perseverance.
She expressed deep concern about the negative stigma that was being attached to the term NGO and the overall hostile atmosphere people were working in.
I also note the sense of pervasive fear that is felt by a significant segment of human rights defenders, which seems to be a direct result of the criminalization of migration.
Mary took what she learned in Greece and brought it to the UN in 2023.
Defenders active in this area are under severe attack in Greece.
She did acknowledge that Europe as a whole was also at fault for failing to develop a fair and equitable system for asylum. But, she said,
this in no way justifies the violation of the rights of refugees and migrants and those who seek to protect them from pushbacks and other attacks. I urge the government to consider the findings of my report and take action.
In her report, Mary laid out 27 recommendations for the Greek government, including dropping criminal charges against human rights defenders. But today, nearly 2 years later, she says Greece has taken few, if any, concrete steps to address her main concerns, leaving open the possibility that people like Tommy Olsen could end up in a Greek prison. Mary still remembers her meeting with Tommy, Dimitris, and the others.
They were journalists, they were lawyers, or they were just ordinary people trying to engage in simple acts of solidarity. And they were all under severe pressure, and it all seemed to be in a very coordinated and deliberate way.
Mary says around the globe, governments are evading accountability for their attacks on people defending the rights of migrants and refugees, and also framing migration as something dangerous, a national security issue.
And that means that people who are fleeing oppression or fleeing suffering or poverty are completely dehumanized by the authorities and the system. And those that are trying to insist that the state protects and respects their human rights are vilified and smeared.
The global crackdown on human rights defenders ultimately affects the migrants and refugees they are trying to save. Dimitris Choulis knows this reality all too well.
First time I'm coming here at night.
Our last day in Samos, I'm with my reporting partner Dina Rothenberg. We're driving with Dimitris to a remote cemetery on the southern part of the island. He says this is where the local government buries migrants who died while trying to reach Europe.
And these funerals, like, what do they look like? Who's coming?
No one. And sometimes us. The Beatles have a very nice song, Eleanor Rigby. You have to listen to it.
It's a famous song about a woman named Eleanor Rigby who dies. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody comes to her funeral.
So it's the same here. It reminds me of the song. No one is here.
Dimitris has been here many times, but it's his first time here at night. We use the flashlights on our phones to see. The actual cemetery sits behind a stone wall, but Dimitris wants to show us what's outside the walls of the cemetery.
We are now in the middle of the forest. All these things, you see?
Wait, what?
These things?
No.
Are graves.
Dimitris is pointing to small mounds of dirt on the ground, each with a number. These are the graves of deceased migrants. He says only a few have plaques that were put there by their families. But for most, there's just a number.
Number 28. If you go closer or if it's there, you will see more numbers. Number 30 there.
These aren't the only unidentified graves of migrants. An investigation by a European media collaboration found that more than 1,000 refugees who died at the borders of Europe were buried before being identified. More than half of those graves were discovered in Greece.
So everywhere, number 31, small. Seems like a child.
So on the graveyards, you only see numbers and the year?
Yes.
Not even names?
Nothing, because they are unknown.
We step over each grave, quickly catching a glimpse of the numbers.
Do you have any idea how many people are buried here?
Dimitris points at the ground.
So the last number we see there is number 33, so at least 33.
Inside the stone wall, in the actual cemetery, there are headstones with names. Most are the graves of Greek people. But there are a few migrants buried here too. Because once Dimitris and his organization realized that people were being buried unidentified, they started to organize proper funerals.
It's me and the people that funded the project. We decided that we have to do something more. What we try to do, we try to put a name and a plaque with his name and the day that he died.
Dimitris shows us the grave of a 5-year-old Afghan boy named Yahya Ayubi. Yahya drowned while his family was trying to reach Samos.
Here we put a plaque. We have something in his language. And then we have in Greek that it wasn't the sea or the air, it was the policies and the fear that caused this.
It wasn't the sea or the air. It was the policies and the fear that caused this. What Dimitris means is this. If applying for asylum wasn't so dangerous, and if fear wasn't driving people to hide and risk their lives, then maybe those who've died would still be here today.
This week's show was produced in collaboration with Dina Rothenberg and Viola Funk from the Berlin podcast studio ACB Stories. Our lead producers were Stephen Rascone and Michael Montgomery. Cynthia Rodriguez edited the show. Special thanks to reporter Franziska Grillmeyer, Wida Hamdan, and Reveal's Nadia Hamdan. Fact-checking by Kim Frieda and Melvis Acosta. Legal review by James Chadwick. Our production managers are the Wonder Twins, Stephen Rascone and Zulema Cobb. Score and sound designed by the dynamic duo, Jay Breezy, Mr. Jim Briggs, and Fernando, my man, Yo Aruda. Our theme music is by Camarado, Lightning. Support for Reveal is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Jonathan Logan Family Foundation, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Park Foundation, the Schmidt Family Foundation, and the Hellman Foundation. Support for Reveal is also provided by you, our listeners. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.